That is a really good sign. A lot of times you get a big group together, and the first time everybody's kind of looking and talking. Man, you jumped right into it, and I almost didn't want it to end. We want to keep that going all week. Part of the beauty of Northern Pines is this community that goes beyond this week, whether it's friends, whether it's a work retreat, whether it's kids. But I love how you jumped in. I have an apology to make. We did not get an address correction, and I missed a state. So, from the great state of Arizona. Yeah. There we go. Apologies. We will correct that and make sure we get that. Did you fly here or drive from Arizona? Whoa. Texas. There we go. Nice. That's the country. Huh? They drove from Texas. Nice. Did you take I-35 north? Right past Wichita where I live. So that's great. Okay. Let's talk about traveling for a second while we're on that. How many of you travel and use your GPS now, even when you know where you're going? Yeah, I should ask one more question. How many have changed the voice on your GPS? My wife has this weird English voice. And I don't know, when hers is on, it's weird. But there is a lost art to following directions. Those of us, most of us, grew up without GPSs, right? And you had to follow directions. Following directions teaches you a lot of things. See, directions go something like this. Okay, you're gonna drive for about 15 miles. It's about 15 miles, 10, 15, 20, we don't know, right? And then you're gonna see a big tree with a rock next to it. Okay? And then so when you see that big tree, turn right, and then about 5 miles, you'll see a church. And so here's the deal. You're driving, first of all, 10, 11, 12 miles. Is that a big tree? Is that a little tree? Is that a big rock? Is the rock next to it? So you're paying attention. You're not thinking about your audiobook. You're not thinking about the music. You're sure you missed that tree. And so the next question is, how long do you drive before you turn around to go see if you missed it? Because it could be around the next corner. Anybody feeling me on those trips back in the day? And especially if somebody you know gave you the directions over the phone, right? You don't even have a map. They're just telling you directions. There's this excitement and tension. All right, is it that? Is that the tree? And then when you see that tree and you see the rock, you know, and you just are like, yes. But the funny thing is, you don't think about the church until you see the tree and the rock, right? All you're looking for is that next thing in the directions. And also, there's also something else that happens if you travel with somebody. There's that moment when you are driving and your knuckles are starting to get white, and a very well-meaning young lady sitting next to you says, should we stop and ask for directions? No, I will get us, again, how many of you know exactly what I'm talking about and had relationships strained by that moment? All right? The problem is when we ask God about our future, God, show me the way. God, tell me what to do. God, show me your will. We want to know the tree, the rock, the church, and how many McDonald's are along the way. Yep. We want the whole thing. And if we don't see the whole picture, we get impatient and frustrated. But maybe if you knew everything right now, you wouldn't even go. Because you know some of the hard stuff that you see, some of the hard stuff that would be on the way. And right now, you're not prepared for that hard stuff. You're not strong enough to withstand that attack that's going to come along the way. And if God shows you every step of the way, there's a guy named Jonah, right? going to go here. Nope, I'm going here. Or, for some of us, if we knew the whole thing, maybe we wouldn't need God anymore. We know where we're going. We know where we're supposed to be. We can get there. And we don't come back to our Savior. We don't come back and sit in his presence and ask for the next step because it's all laid out for us. And so a very wise and loving God says, hey, I'm going to give you a lamp for your feet, a flickering oil lamp in the dark, so you can see the next step. It's going to be a light to your path, and you're going to see the next step. You have no idea what's on the other side of that hill, and you're going to have to trust me that I'm going to show you the way. And so this year, our theme for the week is, it comes from a verse in Isaiah, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, 21 says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The Pine Nuts this week, every morning, we're going to visit this chapter and things that God says will help us get to that place where we can take a step and actually hear his voice if we listen this week. Let me give you a little background to this chapter in Isaiah 30. King Hezekiah is probably the king of Judah. Israel's already been captured by Assyria, and now they're pressuring the nation of Judah. And even though Hezekiah is a pretty faithful king, he gets scared. And so instead of turning to God and trusting God, Bible says that they do something completely different. They decide to try and figure out life on their own. And this is how they're described. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine. They form alliances, but not by my spirit. They heap sin upon sin and go down to Egypt without consulting me. There are people who have decided I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way I believe is best. As a matter of fact, they turn their back on the very people who are trying to bring them back to God. A few verses later, these are rebellious people, deceitful children, unwilling to listen to the Lord's instructions. They say to the seers, the wise men, the prophets, the teachers, they say to the seers, see no more visions. Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions, leave this way and get off this path. Quit confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. And sometimes we don't say maybe those words out loud, but when a pastor says something that convicts, we quit listening. Or we change churches to find somebody who's going to say the things we want to hear, not what God is trying to tell us. We want a Christian life that is pleasant. We want a Christian life that's easy, where people are going to like us and love us and everything's going to fall into place. And we want people, even though it's not going to happen, we want people to tell us it is. And Isaiah says their sin grows. Every time they tried to build something, it shattered like fragile pottery. I'm going to suggest many of us have had an experience of trying to do something on our own. And somewhere along the way, it blew up and shattered. A marriage, a relationship with a son or a daughter, a business. We tried to overcome something in our life, a habit. And instead of overcoming it, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, everything blows up and shatters. And when it blows up, what do we do next? God offered them a way back. He said, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. What a wonderful verse, right? In the midst of all this stuff, even though they're rejecting him, God says, here it is. Repentance, rest, quietness, and trust. And the people didn't want it. God says, repentance and rest is your salvation, quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. And he describes them as they try and try. And there's this picture, there is a flagstaff with a tattered flag on the side of a mountain just blowing in the wind. There's nobody around. They are completely alone, completely defeated. And they don't know what to do. Some of you know that feeling all too well. It has been a year of trying. It has been a year of scrambling. It has been a year of trying to fix things. And no matter what you've done, that relationship's gotten worse. That sin has grown. The bitterness has gotten deeper. The anger bubbles out and explodes more. Here's the good news. God's posture towards you never changes. No matter where you've been, what you've done, no matter how much things have blown up, this is what our Savior says. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Alone on that hillside, he rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is the God of justice. Blessed are those, or all who wait for him. Here's what I want to tell you as we start the week. We have a Savior, a God who created this world, who longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. And no matter what you've been scrambling with the last week, no matter what you've brought to camp, no matter what's going on in the back of your mind, God is not out there saying, see, I told you, see, God is saying, I just want to be gracious to you. I just want to show you compassion. This week, I believe there's four steps God's going to ask us to take. I don't know which one applies to you the most, but four things that if we accept his offer, and then we take a step to the right or to the left and listen, I believe this is a week where you're going to hear God's voice. Repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. Let's talk about these four things. Repenting. I'm going to be very simple. It means to change direction or return home. It's the story of the prodigal son. You've been going in this direction. God says, the first step, you don't have to fix anything. You don't have to correct that sin. You don't have to get over that bitterness. All you got to do is change direction and come home. Some of us have wandered. It wasn't intentional. But we aren't where we were 6 months ago or a year ago. For some of us, it was deliberate. We might be angry. We might be frustrated. We might have seen something that caught our eye. 2 Chronicles 39 says this to you. If you're willing to take that step, for the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate, he will not turn his face from you if you return to him. If for whatever reason you came to camp, and yeah, it's a Bible camp or a Christian camp. Yes, it's a place where you're going to worship, but you know in your heart you're far from God. This week I believe God invites you to come home. Your first step, change direction and come home. It's not about working harder this week. It's not about being more disciplined. It's not about fixing it or being smarter. It's simply coming home. The second, God says, part of your salvation is rest. I struggle with this one. I struggle with this one. Funny thing happens, we have three grown sons. They have, two of them have four kids. Jake's in Taiwan. It's another story. But when Matt or Mike come home, there was one thing I can count on. They'll bring the kids over, play in the backyard, downstairs, swimming. It doesn't matter. Sooner or later, you're going to look over, and they are crashed on the couch or the recliner. There is something about when you go home, you nap. Anybody else in that? It's the same thing for me. If I go to my parents' house, I'm on the couch, I will fall asleep because I'm home. What is rest? I'm going to suggest this week that rest is you letting go of control. When you're asleep, you can't control anything, right? I know I don't snore. Got that under control, right? Now ask my wife. No, I do. I can't control things when I sleep. What if rest is you saying to God, I trust you. I know there's work. I know this has to be done. I know I need to do this. But God, I'm going to let go, trust that somehow you're going to take care of me. We know God created the earth in 7 days, right? And we can go through and learn them. 7 days of creation. Six, you're right. Six. We're going to get to the seventh day. But in that seven-day process, do you know there's only one day that God actually blessed? You know, he created the heavens and the earth. He didn't bless that day of creation. He created animals, and he created light and stars. None of those days, Bible says, were blessed. And then you get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. It says, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God blessed, arrested from all his work that he had done in creation. For God to bless something means to make it flourish, to experience his favor. Rest is for you to flourish, not just exist. For some of you this week, you are exhausted, not just from traveling with kids. Oh my goodness, I learned new levels of exhaustion this last year. We did sleepovers with 7 grandkids. Oh gosh. They you know, they all go to bed right away on their bedtime when they're at grandma and grandpa's, right? And they don't get up and come ask for glasses of water and a fourth snack, and they never eat sugar before they go to bed. And they always sleep in. Oh, 5:30 in the morning. Grandpa, are we having pancakes? Yes. They finally go home, and Julie and I look at this disaster of a house, and it's like, ugh. There's new levels of tiredness. This week at camp, you're going to hear wonderful speakers. You're going to have a chance to worship. But maybe the most spiritual thing you can do, the most obedient thing you can do this week, is take a nap. The most important thing for you, God is saying this week, part of your salvation is to accept the rest that I'm giving you and let go of all that control. Third, quietness. Maybe this week for some of you is about quieting the noise, both the outside noise and the inside noise. Maybe you've been talking so much to yourself and your mind's been racing that you can't listen. And all the deafening noise of your kids and work and school and community and everything else that's going on, doesn't matter what way you step to the right or to the left, you can't hear anything right now. And God says this week, be quiet and you're going to find your strength. You've been trying so hard. You've been trying to fix it. You've been trying to overcome. Exodus 14:14 is an incredible verse. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Who would you rather have fight the battle, you or God? And for some of you, God is telling you, even now, that voice is there. You've been fighting for so long. This week, if you're simply willing to be still and quiet, I will fight for you. I'm getting so specific. Some of your marriages right now are rocky and you've been fighting to save it. Maybe this week it's time to be still and let God fight for you. Some of your kids have been running from God, are not where you want them to be, and you've been fighting and fighting and fighting and trying and trying, and it feels like it's getting worse. God says, this week, here's a week, be quiet and listen and find your strength again. Don't fix, don't correct, don't explain. Just be quiet this week. And finally, your strength comes from trust. Trust is taking that step you know you're supposed to, even though you don't know how it's going to turn out. Build an ark. Run at a giant. Be like Ruth. Leave where you're comfortable and go someplace else if that's what God is asking you to do. For some of you, you know exactly what God is asking you to do, and it's too scary. For some of you, you know, you've heard that voice. Yep, that's the way, go. But God, what if this happens, or what if this happens, or what if this happens, what if this happens? Trust me. But what if it doesn't work out the way I think it's going to? Trust me. But trust me. Jesus' own words, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust in me. This week, as I've gone through these four, I believe the Holy Spirit for many of us says, this one's you. When I was talking about repent, I was like, ugh. I don't want to. Or rest. I want to get all everything I can out of camp this week. I don't want to rest. Being quiet is hard sometimes. Or to stepping out in faith and trusting. Whatever it is, take the next step. Now, I want to pause just for a second, because I think in our churches and in our faith, we do a great job of celebrating people who have overcome. We love the testimony of the person who was broken and addicted and God delivered them. We love the story of the person whose marriage was almost done and then they worked it out and God redeemed it. And we should celebrate those. Those should motivate us and excite us. But those stories are often discouraging to people who are right in the middle of it. And frankly, I know a lot of you. Every year, that's a lot of people who come to Northern Pines. You're not on the other side of it. You are right in the middle of it. And it's hard sometimes because you look around and you think everybody else is here is on the other side. I'm telling you, they're not either. We're all in the middle of the junk. Amen. We have to constantly remind ourselves our worth and our value and our acceptance to our Lord and Savior is not in our overcoming, it's in our being. Being His child. When my kids went through hard times, my love for them never changed. Their worth never changed. You don't have to be free to be loved. If you're going through it right now, I just want you to hear tonight, you're home. You're among family. If your addiction still has you, you're welcome here. If you're fighting for a broken marriage, you're one of us. If your kids are not walking with God the way you want, or they're stuck in something, there's a whole lot of people here who know exactly what you're going through. If you're battling depression, anxiety, sickness, anything else, and it doesn't seem like it's changing right now, it still doesn't change how your Savior loves you. He rises to show you compassion. He waits to be gracious to you. And when we turn to Him and take that step, this is the response. Oh, people of Zion, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer. The Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. And whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ear will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. There was a very rich and powerful man in a foreign company named Naaman. And Naaman had it all. He was a great military leader. He had money, he had wealth, he had power, but he also had leprosy. That he could not find a treatment that worked. He could not find anything with all his money and power. He couldn't overcome it. And he had this little girl in his house. She was a slave and she assisted his wife. And even though she was in a foreign company, a country, and she had been trafficked out of her own country, and she was there, she said, hey, I know my God, and there is this prophet. If you go see this prophet, his name is Elijah, you'll probably get healed. And so Naaman goes. He takes huge amounts of silver. He takes 6,000 shekels of gold. He takes all kinds of clothing because he's got to impress this prophet. And first he goes to the king, and the king gets scared because he knows this dude. He says, I can't help you. He goes to the prophet, and the prophet doesn't even come out to greet this powerful, powerful man. He just sends his aide, and his aide says, hey, his servant, hey, just go to that river over there, the Jordan River. It's not a fancy river. Dunk yourself 7 times. And Naaman gets angry. I'm too important. This ain't gonna work. That's too simple. It's too easy. And the servant said, why not at least try? And with a simple act of obedience, I can just imagine Naaman dunks himself once and he comes up. Nothing's changed. He said 7, he goes down a second time. Still got it. 7. Third time, a fourth time. I wonder how many times Naaman thought this was foolish and wanted to quit. And the 7th time he took the simple step of going underneath the water and coming up, the Bible says his skin was like that of a new baby, a young child. He was completely whole. What if salvation this week starts with something simple? One step, maybe a step of repentance, maybe a step of rest, maybe a step of simply being quiet, or maybe a step of trust. Zach, if you want to come on up, I'm going to invite you this week to consider what step God is asking of you this week. And again, not to fix anything, not to overcome anything, just to take a step of obedience and come home. Take a step near his presence and to listen. To help us listen, I'm gonna wrap up with an exercise I actually learned from my son. And I'm gonna invite you to just sit with me, and we're gonna go through a section of scripture, just one verse. And we're gonna sit in quiet. And I'm going to read the verse. And then we're gonna take away a couple words, and we're gonna read it again. We're gonna read it again. And take this as God's word over you and to you as you start this week at Northern Pines. So feel free. Some of you come from traditions where we receive things, we open our hands, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But I invite you to close your eyes and be still. Psalm 46:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Lord, we want to be quiet, but we bring a lot of noise with us. Help us in the stillness to hear your compassion, to feel your compassion, to see you rise with graciousness. Lord, I pray for those right now who the Holy Spirit is already saying it's time to turn and take a step in a different direction. Lord, that that voice would be relentless this week. And that first step would not be the last, but as they experience the nearness of your pleasure and your presence, it becomes the first of many. Lord, for those who need to rest, God, give them great sleep this week. Help them let go of all the things they're trying to control and realize that you work all things together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. For those of us who use noise to cover up a lot of things, help us be quiet. Help us be still and listen. And Lord, for those who already know, they've heard your voice, and that thing there that they have to trust you with, they're having a hard time letting go, let this week be a time where they take that first step toward fully trusting you and giving it over to you. And as we do that, Lord, please draw near to us this week. Let us sense your presence. Let us sense your affection. Let us sense your favor. Lord, for all of our programs, our junior high, senior high, wilderness, CCA, young adults, children's, Lord, we pray a blessing over them this week, that they would flourish, that they would experience your favor, that children would hear the gospel in ways they never heard before, that people would feel loved and there'd be freedom, that you would bless every element of this campus in ways that we've never experienced before. Lord, thank you for bringing us to this place. And we celebrate the fact that we have a God who loves us even when we're in the middle of it. It doesn't matter. Because you created us and you love us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.